All right, well, I want to start off with a question tonight. So we didn't have an open mic, but we're not getting off that lightly. I want to start off with a question, and here it is. I hope you've got a backstage experience here. Has anyone had a backstage pass before? What was it like? How did it make you feel? Anyone got a backstage pass experience? Amy does. You can... Awesome.
I accidentally got one for the Bathurst 1000 car race. And it was so exciting, and I had no idea what was going on, but I knew I was in with the people who wanted to be there.
That is awesome. So Amy, who loves the theatre, has a backstage pass to the V8s.
Yep.
That's awesome. Did you meet anyone?
I probably did.
Oh, come on. And you can't say Peter Brock.
I probably did.
But, awesome.
You know, didn't awesome. Really know.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. But did you feel special that you were backstage?
Oh, yes. I had this pass around my neck.
Yeah.
And I just kept walking up to people like, will this get me in? And it did. I got in everywhere.
That is all time.
Yeah.
Memorable.
Very.
Come on, who can beat backstage of the V8s? Who else has got a backstage pass experience that you'd like to share? All right, we're at the back there. Amy, fantastic.
When we were the Sydney Olympics were on...
We can't hear you there, Pete. Awesome.
Go now. Hello? 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 How's that?
Yeah, gotcha.
When the Sydney Olympics were on, the company I was working for was a major sponsor, and I started work the week before the Olympics, and I walked in and they said, oh, here's your pass, and it had an affinity symbol on it, meant you could go anywhere you wanted on the Olympic precinct, so that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Come on, hang on. Whoa. Did you meet somebody kind of memorable, famous, athletic?
Well, when you were walking through the back, there was just people, like, we went to the tennis and there was a lot of the tennis stars walking past. I can't remember. It's a long time ago now, Paul.
Fair enough, Pete. Fair enough. Awesome. Anyone else? Backstage pass. Come on. This is your moment. Name drop. Shameless name drop. Al, what do we got, bro?
Oh, it's no big deal. But,
oh, come on.
I got a little... I was in a band many years ago and we got invited onto the bill of a charity concert at the entertainment centre. So I got a little backstage pass there. And who did I meet? I got to meet Peter Garrett because he was the host.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so
cool.
For
your kids, that's for Midnight Oil or politics, depending how old you are.
No, Al was full rock and roll. His band was Vision Head.
I'll stop.
And
it.
My wife, who was actually a youth under, I think, Annie there, and Shell remembers trying to get front stage at Black Stump just to see Al Hewitson on guitar. He was rock and roll, man.
Why wouldn't you?
That's awesome. Who else? Who else is going to... Have we got time for one more? I know... Yep. Awesome. One more backstage experience.
So me and Mel, we got to do a meet and greet, and we met Mulder.
Oh, David Duchovny.
Duchovny.
Oh, yeah.
So he played in a band, but it's kind of like a reverse backstage pass, and he came down into the crowd.
Oh, that's cool.
So they're like big X-Files fans. And
yeah. Awesome. Bet you've been waiting. How long have you been waiting, Ben, to name drop that?
I'll drop it whenever I can.
Yes, of course you do. Oh, how cool is that? There's something like really cool about going into a restricted space where nobody can go. That backstage experience, it becomes super memorable, doesn't it, Amy? Super memorable. I mean, places of restricted access, it's not a new phenomena. You pick your epoch of time, and there's always been certain areas that special people can actually go and experience something that other people can't. And everybody else looks in and goes, oh, I wish I could. I wish I had that experience. I wish I could meet that person. You pick your moment in time. There has always been a space of restricted access where only the select people actually get to go. But what if I was to say to you that there was one who actually can give us a backstage pass to the heavenly realm, and you could actually go to a space and experience the power of God. That would actually be Jesus. Jesus is the one who can actually give us a backstage pass where you can actually meet the creator of the universe whenever you so desire. That sounds pretty awesome, right? Jesus has a backstage pass to the heavenly realms that you can grab hold of actually right now, tonight. For me personally, I received, I guess, my backstage pass into the heavenly realms. It was like 1998. And I can honestly say, without that access, I'm not quite sure I would be here. As a young adult, I was in such a dark place. And accessing the power and the presence of God, that backstage pass through Jesus into the heavenly realms, I can honestly say it actually saved my life. It has filled me with such rich experiences that I have stopped trying to chase any other experience in the world, because there's no experience like being able to access the heavenly realms and the power and the presence of God through the very backstage pass that Jesus Christ has, that we can grab hold of by faith tonight. There is no other experience in this world worth chasing after once you've gone into the backstage of the heavenly realms through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Those that follow Jesus, being able to access God whenever you want, wherever you are, there is no greater experience and ongoing relationship that you can actually share in. Do you want to find out, though, what it actually cost Jesus to actually give you a backstage pass into the heavenly realms? Because it actually cost Jesus everything. And you know what? If you want to access the heavenly realms, in the end, you know what? It's going to actually cost you everything as well. It's a really big backstory. But what I'd like to do tonight is to reveal through the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 9, exactly how Jesus is actually in a space right now to actually offer you a backstage pass to the heavenly realms that you can access right now. It's a huge backstory, but I think it's really important to know how much it cost Jesus and the impact it has on your day-to-day life this week and for in all eternity as well. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 9. This is the backstory. This is how Jesus is able to give you a backstage pass. This is what it cost Jesus. Verses 1 and 2. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. Moses, big character in the Old Testament. Moses was the only person that had a backstage pass to meet and experience God. Only Moses had that. And on occasions, Joshua, his young aide as well. Moses went to the tent of meeting, and that was the backstage to meet with God face to face. Nobody else had that experience. Have a look in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. No one else had that backstage pass, mainly Moses and on occasions Joshua. That's it. You know, the way to God was closed, really. And then we move from the tent of meeting to the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was really a massive portable temple that Israel packed down and set up as they went through the wilderness wandering. Once they came up out of Egypt, they come up out of slavery, and the tent of meeting transitioned to this, which is the tabernacle, 50 feet by 50 feet, and it ultimately was a space where now the priests could have a backstage pass to actually encounter God. But the way to God was still closed. You had to be a priest in order to access the presence of God. Now, this tabernacle actually was set up in the middle of the camp. This is the next image. And so the tents, the people of God, Israel, they were encamped around this tabernacle. And so what the writer of Hebrews does now, he wants to explain to you what these two rooms were in the tabernacle. Again, this is really critical to start to understand what it actually cost Jesus to give you a backstage pass that you can access heaven right now. And so the writer of Hebrews starts to explain what was in this tabernacle. And so this first room was the holy place. The second room was the most holy place. And if you have a look there in Hebrews, it's not up on the screen, just leave that picture. We see in verse 2, in its first room were a lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. This was basically the priests would come in each day. And what they would do is that they would change the bread. Now, that bread was a symbol of having fellowship with God, like table fellowship with God. They would make sure that the incense was burning. So the priests would come in daily to just that first room, that bigger room. But only once a year would the priest go into the holies of holies, right? So you see how that curtain separates the two rooms? So the priest would then go only once a year into the holy of holies. So verse 3, behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. And so the priest would go in once a year, but in that room was the Ark of the Covenant. Does anyone know there are three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant? You're probably going to get the first one. Does anyone know what was in the Ark of the Covenant, that little chest? What was in there? Can anyone tell me? Ten Commandments. There are two other items in that Ark of the Covenant. Yes, manna. Oh, Minty, have one. Metaphorical. Manna, which was basically flakes of bread that God sent from heaven to feed the Israelites in the desert where there was no food. And there was also one other item. Aaron's staff, Mark, awesome man. Aaron's staff that actually budded as well. So here were important symbols of their faith that was put in the Ark of the Covenant. Now what the priest did just once a year, I think Jesse preached on it last week as well, it was the Day of Atonement, is where the priest came in and it was just like a whole lot of blood. Like if you've got a weak stomach, don't be a priest. Like it's a whole lot of blood. So the priest would come in and the idea is that once you basically killed an animal, it was the animal's life for your life so you could have communion with God through the priest. So they would basically shed the blood of that animal. The priest would go in, sprinkle all the blood in that room. That was just to cover his sin. Don't forget, God is a holy, holy God and sin can't be in his presence. So that first act was basically covering the priest's sin because we all disobey God. We all fall short of God's standard of perfection and holiness, and it separates us from God. And so then the priest would go back, cut up another animal. I mean, it's horrible. I'm not quite sure I could do that. I love animals too much. But then comes back in and then sprinkles the blood on behalf of all of Israel. Okay, that was the Day of Atonement. And that's what these verses are getting at. It's explaining what is happening, which is really just saying that the way to God was closed and it was really the priests that had a backstage pass to experience the presence of God, and only the priests could actually have that moment. And that was only once a year. And in verse 7, we read, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. So why was it so difficult to access the presence of God? Why was it so difficult? Well, God is holy. He's separate. He's other than. We are sinful. It's a huge problem. It's a big divide. We can't access God through our own good deeds. Nobody's good enough. Nobody's perfect. And it took the sacrifice of an animal, the animal's life for the priest's life to access the presence of God. And in the presence of God, that's where life is found. That's where meaning is found. That's where hope is found. That's where everything you're longing for is actually found in the presence of God. but the way to God was closed. Verse 8, here it is. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. Here we have the Holy Spirit that's working through the structures of the Old Testament. And the tabernacle, the portable temple, it really was a symbol representing what is about to happen, what is yet to come. It's just a symbol. The way is closed, but you can still relate to God. You had to have an exclusive backstage pass to do it. Through the tabernacle, the way to God was closed. Then, in a moment of time, this happened. Matthew 27 happened. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rock split. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross, the curtain was torn in two. The way to God is open. You can access the heavenly realm now through faith in Jesus Christ. Do not delay. Do not hold back. You can run to the Father right now. This is a moment in time where the tabernacle was deconstructed and all can access the power of God in the heavenly realms now. And the Apostle Paul picked up on this. One of our freedom verses is this. In Jesus and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Right now, with freedom, we can just run to the Father. We can fall at his feet. We can experience his embrace. Because it cost Jesus everything. And now Jesus has this awesome backstage pass that he's holding. And you can reach out by faith and grab it. And you can now access the heavenly realms today. And you can experience these three realities when we come into the presence of God. We can experience power. When we access God and we call on the name of Jesus, we experience power. You know, from just my experience, just being in the presence of God and just confessing my sin, there is nothing more liberating than having your conscience cleared. We can do some disappointing things. We can say some disappointing words. We can act in ways that aren't flash. We can carry a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and it weighs us down in life. But you can come to God with freedom and confidence, and you can experience real power where God clears your conscience, forgives you. And that forgiveness, it gives you a power greater than yourself to overcome whatever challenge you're facing. There is a tangible love in the presence of God, a tangible love. A love in his presence, it satisfies everything you're looking for. You'll find it when you experience the love of God by calling on the name of Jesus. There is power in the presence of God, and the presence of God can be experienced right now. There is freedom from fear. There is a passion and a purpose that comes when you're in the presence of God. And there's prayer. We get to talk to God. Moses was the only one that could talk to God face to face. Right now, you can talk to God face to face. Prayer ought to be one continuous conversation. Why do we think that prayer is just in the morning? Well, that prayer is just at night. Why isn't prayer one continuous conversation with God all throughout your day? Talk to him all throughout your day. Tell him how you're feeling. Call upon his name. He is there. The Lord is near, the Apostle Paul says. The way to God is open. Prayer is communing with God. I get to talk to God. I get to hear back from him in different times. Frustrating when he takes too long, but God's ways are mysterious. Look, there's lots of unanswered prayer in my life, but I know God has heard me because I can run to God with freedom and confidence. And when you can talk to God and you know that the one that made it all has heard you, you're not alone. You can feel so alone in life. You can have all the toys in life and still feel alone. You can have great relational experiences and still feel alone. You can travel the world and you can afford it all and you can still feel alone. But when you talk to God, you never feel alone because He's got your back. He's listening. He loves you. And that, I just find that there's great purpose. There is purpose in the presence of God. God gives you a reason to live. God gives you a purpose to live for. You know, the sad reality of our world is that, you know, we've got everything to live with, but nothing to live for. You can have everything to live with, but nothing to live for until you access the power of God. And He will give you a newfound purpose. And that really is about blessing others, serving others, advocating for the poor, reaching out and helping. There is a purpose way, way beyond what this world can ever offer you. And I got to say that is not everyone looking for meaning in life? Don't sometimes you turn up to work, not all the time, but you go, where's the meaning in this? Oh, I've made this client happy. Awesome. Wow. Oh, I did this thing today. Okay. Well, I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. But you know what? You can actually face the mundane of life and experience God in it. You can find meaning in the most meaningless tasks because it's God that gives you joy. You could be doing anything with God and you can find joy. You try doing it without God and you'll find restlessness. I just, speaking from my heart, I just love that Jesus has this backstage pass. And I grabbed hold of it in 1998. And I've never looked back since. His power, talking with Him, finding a purpose. There's no turning back. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than in the presence of the Almighty God. And that's what the author of Hebrews is saying, that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. The way to God is open for all people. Verses 9 and 10, this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. I've heard a lot about the new order, the new world order. Well, here it is. It's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And through the tabernacle, it was all external. You had to wash your body in a certain way, eat certain foods, do certain things. It was all external in order to access God, and you really had to be a priest. Well, now the way is open to God through Christ, and now it actually deals with what? The conscience of the worshipper. Everything in the tabernacle was all about external worship. And now through Jesus, look what the author of Hebrews says. It was all external, just a matter of food, ceremonial washing, but now we can have our conscience cleared. Today's the day of the new world order. It's called the kingdom of God. And who's the king? King Jesus. He's the king of the new world order. So by what method did Jesus come to power? Look at verse 11 and 12. By what method? What did it really cost Jesus to give you access to the heavenly realms? Here it is. But when Christ came as a high priest, we heard about that last week through Jesse, of the good things that are now already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all, look, by His own blood. thus obtaining eternal redemption for us. Jesus went through the heavenly tabernacle on your behalf, and it cost him his blood. You know, the moment that the blood of Jesus was cascading over his flesh when he was on that cross, he was perfect, innocent human being and yet divine God. He never disobeyed God. And when Jesus entered into the darkness of death, as the blood cascaded over his skin, that was the perfect sacrifice. And the only means in which he now says, you want to access God? Come to me. Here's your backstage pass. You can access the heavenly realms right now. It was Jesus' life for your life. Jesus' life for your life. I've got a little experiment. Al, you're going to be so proud of me. This represents us, really. And the red is obviously our sin. And we sin. We do it. Like, there's not a day that goes by where we just don't rebel against God. I mean, and there's this hunger and search for us for meaning and purpose. There's a hunger inside of us for love and security, and that drives us in a certain set of ways. Some people turn to Eastern mysticism to try and find nirvana and try and find this escape, this idea of birth, death, and rebirth. And if I follow the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path of Buddhism, then somehow I'll find enlightenment. But the problem is that we're still sinful. Some people think, okay, well, I'll just go through as much secular experiences. If I just, you know, have as much holidays and as many relationships and as much money as I can, that'll make me happier. It doesn't. And the challenge is that you're still sinful. And some people think that Islam, which is submission to the will of Allah, that's the way to find meaning through that religion. But the problem is that you're still sinful. And sin separates us from God. Whatever path that people are trying to find fulfillment and meaning and purpose, the one problem with any path is that we're all sinful. It separates us from God. But there was one. His name is Jesus. And he had no sin. Nothing. He was perfect. He obeyed and submitted to the will of our Father. We read about him in the Gospels, how he touched a leper and made him clean, restored his body and took him back to his family. We saw how Jesus walked on water and he calmed a storm. He healed the blind and the sick and the lame, and he called his disciples and he said, go and tell about the good news that the kingdom of God is here. And he perfectly lived a life that we can't. And he died a death in our place. He deconstructed the tabernacle. The curtain was torn in two, and now the way to God is completely open. And his life, his perfect life, it can be poured into our life if we're willing. If we're in a place where we can come under Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, let me put my spirit in your body so that you can experience complete healing and forgiveness. And I want to give you a backstage pass to the heavenly realms. And when we call upon the name of Jesus, he completely forgives us. Completely forgives us. There is not an ounce of sin left in your body. You know what's really interesting, though? Is that we continue to sin. We continue to be selfish. We continue to go back to bad habits. We continue to sin over and over again, and sin keeps being poured into our life. But just have a look. When you've got the Holy Spirit in you, your conscience is clear. And we keep sinning, but the love of God keeps forgiving. We keep sinning, but the love of God keeps forgiving. Because now we're in Christ, and we have access to the Father right now. That's freedom, friend. The writer of Hebrews in verse 13 to 14 says this: how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished, perfect to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So that we may serve the living God. You see, when we access the heavenly realms, it's not like going to some spiritual day spa where you sit back in some lounge and sofa and the Spirit of God does some manicure and pedicure and just some facial. That's not the kingdom. We access the power of God through his presence so that we can serve the living God. We are forgiven so that we can serve. I want to land on this prayer for us, because I guess for me, this statement is kind of reflective of where I'm at right now in my fellowship of Jesus. This next slide. This is, I guess, where I'm at. To know God, to love God, and to serve him in the world. I want to know God more and more. I want to access his power more and more. I just want to talk with him more and more. I want to find the more and more about the purpose that God has for me in the world. I just want to love God more and more, which means I want to give him my choices, my decisions, my behaviors, my affection. I want to know God. I want to know him more. I want to love him more. I want to serve him in the world. That's where I got to, you know, Friday when I was just down at Cronulla reading and praying and just sitting in this obscure passage that when you just kind of like read it out, he's like, what the heck is that passage saying? How powerful is that passage? Hebrews 9, 1 to 14, like that's... As I was sitting down Cronulla just praying, I was like, yeah, this is probably where I'm at. To know God, to love God, and to serve him in the world. And I'm just wondering whether that could be our prayer tonight. Maybe that could be your prayer, because that's been my prayer, especially over this weekend. God, I just want to know you more. Lord, I want to love you, and I want to serve you in the world. You know, if that's kind of what you'd like to pray, then why don't you just pray that out before God in response? You know, maybe for you, it's different. Maybe for you, it's like, what have you been talking about? Backstage, past, what are you going on about? Maybe for you, all you need to do tonight is just say, Jesus, here I am. I need you. Maybe that's as far as you've got. Maybe that's as much as you've got tonight. And say that. Jesus, here I am. I need you. Let's have a moment where we can actually be real with God and that you can express what's on your heart before God. Because he wants you. God is zealous for you. He literally wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your soul. And he wants to give you his power. He wants to put his Spirit in your life, which makes you crystal clear before a holy God. Let's pray. Our Father, we just want to thank you for tonight. Your word is just timeless. That the author of Hebrews could write such an obscure writing that just challenges us so much tonight. Thank you that your word, it's a word that pierces through the ages and through the generations. And I thank you, Jesus, that you went through the darkness of death so that we could have access to your presence right now. I thank you, Jesus, that you are not in the grave. That you are alive. You are the living God. And that we can serve you in the world. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit in this moment would move us. Jesus, we want to grab hold of you tonight. We thank you that the way is open. I want to encourage you to pray this just in the quietness of your mind. As I genuinely pray this for myself too. God, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to love you and follow you. Lord, I desire to serve you in the world. Come and take hold of me. Lord, as we have reached out to you tonight, I thank you that you've really got your hand on us. And I pray, Lord, that we will always know that your Spirit in us has completely cleared and cleansed our conscience. And before you, a holy God, you see us completely clean, even though we keep disobeying you. I thank you that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Amen.